Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara discusses the assumption that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. And usually, when the Gemara tries to prove that something is so, they always quote Pesukim. We just had the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara says, and how do you know that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael? So they should say, look on a map. Rosh says, no, Shenema. It's a Pasuk in Tanakh. That's how the Jews always prove things, a Pasuk in Tanakh. So here there's no Pasuk in Tanakh at all. So how do we know that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin? What's the source? So the Ramban gave a long drasha that covered Rosh Hashanah when he came there to Israel. So this is the first topic that he discusses in his drasha. So he says it must be an oral tradition from the days of Adam Arishon. He quotes a medrash like that. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, I think. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon on Friday, on the sixth day of Sheshes Shnei Bereishis, so he commanded him not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He gave him Ritzav Hashem Elokim al Adam. He commanded him all of the mitzvahs b'nei noach. And in addition, he gave him the special din not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That was a Hayra Shor. And he warned him, Yom HaChofim Menem Oz Tomos, you're going to be punished if you eat from the Eitz Hadas. So he violated the mitzvah that the very same day, an hour later, went to the Medrash. And then he was judged on the same day, and he was punished on the same day, chased out of Gan Eden. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Arishon that just like I judge you today, so too in all the future generations I will judge your descendants. So this was an oral tradition from the days of Adam Arishon. That's how the Ramban quotes from the Midrash. And the Ramban discusses the Inyan of Tkiyah Shofar. At length, he goes to all the dinim of Tkiyah Shofar in his long drasha. So he points out an interesting chiddush, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch from the Ramban, that there are animals that have horns that are solid horns. It has no hollow part inside. So the Ramban thinks that that's not the... Even if you drill a hole through and you make a shofar out of it, he doesn't think that that's acceptable for the mitzvah of shofar. He says the word shofar comes from the Loshon Shpoferis, a hollowed out straw. You have to have, the Gemara talks about the zachris, you have to have flesh inside the horn. You have to clean out that flesh, remove it, and blow shofar through that. But if you have a solid horn and you drill a hole, he thinks that that's not acceptable. The Ramban Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Ran, that even if you have such a horn that has a basar inside, has what they call zachrus inside, if it's from a non-kosher animal, it's not acceptable. It has to be dafka from a kosher animal. The Ran doesn't really say that behechlet. The Ran raises a suffix. He's not sure. The Ramah quotes it as if the Ran said it in the Torah Svadai that it's not good. And Achranim point out, the Ran is only a suffix. What's the suffix? Because the Gemara has a klal in Perek Lamed Madlikin, you have a pasuk in connection with Hanochas Tefillin that says we should wear Tefillin Lamantia Teres Hashem Eficho Ki Biarcha Zoko Hatziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara had, so the simple pshat on the pasuk is that that's the Tam HaMitzvah. You should wear Tefillin, and this should remind you all the time. You should always be mindful of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the Tama Mitzvah. And then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk that the Parshios of Kaddish Ve'Kaviach Shmav Yom Shamay, and the same is true with Mezuz, and the same is true with the Sefer Torah. Whenever you're writing Divrei Torah, it has to be Torah Hashem Beficho Min Amuta Beficho. You have to write on parchment from an animal that's kosher. Strictly speaking, if you take the hide from a non-kosher animal, I take horse leather, I take an elephant hide. So the hide is not basar, only basar behemoth may is also. The or the gidden karnaim and tlofim is not basar, so strictly speaking it's mutter. But nonetheless, even though it's mutter, it's kosher, you're allowed to eat it. Minotura for sure you're allowed to eat it. Only there's certain parts of the skin are very soft, those are edible, so that's dinaki basar. But most of the hide is tough and it's inedible, it's leather, so strictly speaking it's kosher. But even though it's kosher, since it comes from a non-kosher animal, so the halacha says you're not allowed to write, say, v'torah tefillin and mezuzah on that. Because you have to have Torah Hashem b'ficha min amuta b'ficha. So the original Gemara, and then the Gemara applies it, then the Gemara says, that's only Torah Hashem b'ficha min amuta b'ficha, that only goes on writing the Torah. How do you know that the ritzuas of the tefillin also have to be from a kosher animal. The Ritzus don't have any Divrei Torah on them. The Gemara says the Bayushal Rosh has a Shin on it. So the Shin is also, one letter of Torah is also Torah. So that has to, the Bayushal Rosh, we know, has to be or Behemoth Torah. How do you know the Ritzus don't have any Oisius on them at all? How do you know that has to be from a kosher animal? So the Gemara said that's Gemiri. That's a tradition. So that's how the Gemara ascertains that the Tachash, the Gemara says, Oris Tchoshim Atzei Shitim. The Oris Tchoshim were covering over the Mishkan on top. So the Gemara says, we don't have any Tachash Bizman Azeh. The Tachash was an animal that only existed in that generation. So we have no way to ascertain whether it's a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. Is it Malagir Machis Parsa or not? So the Gemara says, but we know Pi Halacha must be, it must have been a kosher animal, because how could it possibly be that the Tachash was a non-kosher animal if we have such a tradition? How can it be that you're using Oris Tachoshim to cover over the Mishkan? It's part of the Mishkan, and it's from a non-kosher animal? It cannot be. So the question is, the Gemara has these dinim, the original din that's learned that from the drasha from the pasuk Torah, Hashem Meficham and Ambuta Beficha. That's if you're writing Divrei Torah. And then you have the halacha Moshe Messina Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Huchshul Malach HaShamayim. Malach HaShamayim means the Ritzuis of the Tefillin, and the Tachash skin on top of the Mishkan. These have one thing in common, they're both Tashmishi Kedusha. What about the Shofar? Shofar is only Tashmishi Mitzvah. The Gemara Megillah draws a contrast between Tashmishi Mitzvah on the one hand and Tashmishi Kedusha on the other hand. Tashmishi Kedusha, if you have a Sefer Torah Tefillin or Mezuzah that's possible, can no longer be used. The mitzvah, so the din is nignosim. You have to bury it and put in shemis. And if it's only tashmish and mitzvah, you have an old pair of tzitzis, an old shofar, an old sukkah, a lulav, an esrog. There's nizrokim. If you want, you can throw it out in the garbage. You don't have to give it any kovet after the zman mitzvah is up. Lachas zman mitzvah. So maybe this din of lehuchshul malachas shemaim or lahar behem a terrible avad, maybe it only applies to tashmish and kiddush. Maybe it doesn't apply. The shofar, which is only tashmishei mitzvah, so that's what the Ran is in doubt about. He's misubik. The Rambam doesn't quote the suffix; he quotes that it's not acceptable. That's how we happen to paskin like this in Eben HaEzer. The din is that chalitza. The Gemara has a machloikis. What's the definition of a shoe? Am I nafkamina? What the definition of a shoe is? So nafkamina for chalitza purposes. Chalitza nala mi al ragloi has to have the status of a shoe. Is a wooden shoe acceptable? Is a shoe made from other materials acceptable? So the shaila is, if it protects, if it doesn't give protection, if you just have cloth kilts that don't wear socks, we wear socks, so socks don't really give protection, so that for sure doesn't have the status of a shoe. What if it's a wooden pair of shoes, or what if it's some other kind of shoe, but it's not made from leather? So this is a machlekes satanai, whether you can perform the mitzvah of chalitza with a shoe that's made from other materials. Or on Yom Kippur, there's a din, nilas ha-sandal is not allowed. You're not allowed to wear shoes. That's a machlokes, whether that's a din d'araisa, a din d'rabbanan. On Tisha B'Av, for sure it's only a din d'rabbanan. In the middle of Avel Shiva, it's a din d'rabbanan. One is not permitted to wear shoes. So that's a shaila. What if you have sneakers? What if a person wears sneakers? He wears another kind of shoe that protects the foot, but it's not made from leather. So the common practice is that we're makel on that. That's a, but that's really a question in the Rishonim. Many Rishonim hold that you're not allowed to wear sneakers on during Shiva and on Yom Kippur. That's a machlokes. So on the assumption, let's say by chalitza we're machmer for sure that you need davka leather. Must be a leather shoe. So Tosfos is there quoted to Rabbi Tam in Perek Mitzvos Chalitza, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, Hilchos Chalitza, that it's not enough that it's made from leather; it has to be leather from a kosher animal. Why? So the Rabbi Natam says because the Gemara establishes that the shoe has to be made from leather based on the pasuk in Yecheskel. The Navi Yecheskel describes all the chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he took care of the Jewish people after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, like a mother takes care of a baby. You bathe the baby and you smear on powder and then you smear on oil and you straighten out the legs and you put on a diaper and you take and you put on shoes on the baby. So the pasuk says Ve'enolech Tochash. And I put on shoes now, then I put on leather shoes. So the Gemara learns out from that pasuk, this psak, that nal, in order to be considered a nal for chalitza and for Yom Kippur and so on, has to be made from leather. So the Rabbi Natam says, well, tachash, the Gemara said, remember, madlik and tachash was a kosher animal, so therefore you see that it's only good for chalitza if it's the leathers from a kosher animal. What does it mean that on Yom Kippur you're allowed to wear leather shoes if they're made from horse leather? All of our shoes are usually horse leather. So it's not from a kosher animal, so it's mutter. It probably didn't mean that. So the Achronim say there, or HaShulchan, many others, they say there, Rabbi Natan, probably, he didn't mean a din in Kol HaTerukula, that it doesn't have a din of shoe unless it's made from leather, from a kosher animal. He meant the mitzvah's chalitza. Since chalitza is a mitzvah, the sandal shal chalitza is a tashmishe mitzvah, so the Rabbi Natan probably understood, not only applies to tashmishe kedush, it even applies to tashmishe mitzvah. So that's the same as what the Rambam quoted in the name of the Ran here, that the shofar is also tashmish and mitzvah. It's not tashmish and kedusha, but it has to be from a kosher animal. The achrenim on the side of the daf in Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er HaGoylan, the other achrenim are bothered with Akasha. Does such an animal exist? An animal that has horns, that's not kosher? The Gemara says the way to identify in Chumash, it says the way to identify whether an animal is kosher or not is malager mafis parsa. But then the Gemara has trick ways to identify. Let's say the leg of the foot of the animal is broken off, and you can't see whether it has split hoofs or not. They broke off the foot. Sometimes you break the foot high enough, it'll be a trefa. But if you break it lower down, it won't be a trefa. So let's say I have an animal, it's malagera. I don't know whether it's mafis parsa or not. I only have one animal, and someone broke off all the four legs, the bottom of their feet. They broke off the feet, you can't tell. So the Gemara says there are other ways to identify whether the animal is kosher. The Gemara says if it has a horn, then be yadua that it's a kosher animal. So how can it possibly be that the Shulchan Aruch talks about a shofar from an animal which is not kosher? If it has a horn, so by definition it has to be kosher. So that's what the Achrayim work on that kasha. What is the Ran talking about? How is there such a thing as a shofar from a non-kosher animal? The Mishnah says in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, Shava Yoivel the Rosh Hashanah let Kiev the Brachas, that on Yom Kippur shall Yoivel, also there's a mitzvah to blow shofar just like on Rosh Hashanah every year, and on Yom Kippur shall Yoivel, there is also a requirement when you daven Musaf. Usually Musaf on Yom Kippur only has 7 Brachas, but Musaf on Yom Kippur shall Yoivel has the whole Malchus Ochanis and shofar is the same way that we daven on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says it won't be exactly 100% the same. Because on Rosh Hashanah we say, and the davening Zehayom Tchilas Maasecha Zikaron Liyom Rishon, today is the anniversary of the Briyas Adam Rishon, and we commemorate and we remind ourselves Zikaron Liyom Rishon, we review in our minds everything that happened on that first day of Briyas Adam Rishon. Those are the three themes of Malchus Chenesher, it's everything that was revealed to Adam Rishon at that time. So that you don't recite on Yom Kippur Shal Yodo, Zehayom Tchilas Maasecha. But the themes you do recite, the Malchus Chenesher, you do recite. So the Rambam, however, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos as well as in the Mishnah Torah, when he formulates the mitzvahs of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah Shofar, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, doesn't write them the same. One of the Achrayim, the early Achrayim, Mal Shakar points this out already. But we don't know what to do with it. The Rambam in Hilchus Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah Shofar writes, it's a mitzvah l'shmoa kol Shofar. On Rosh Hashanah. And on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah litkoa. He writes the same, both in Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Mishnah Torah. So the question is, does he really mean that there's a difference? One is a mitzvah shmiya, one is a mitzvah tkiya. It's questionable. Because there is a tshuva that's alleged, supposedly authored by the Rambam, that collections of tshuvas by the Rambam. We never know whether these tshuvas are authentic. So there's supposed to be a tshuvas haRambam that's printed in all the editions, that the Rambam proves that the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah l'shmoa. It's not a mitzvah l'tkoa. So he says, from the fact that we have the institution of a Baal Tekeh, he blows in everybody's yotzei, so how about we yotzei with his tkiyah? So that's the Rambam's raya, that it's a mitzvah l'shmoa. So everybody heard. So if you put two and two together, so the Rambam says that the mitzvah on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel is a mitzvah l'tkoa. He doesn't say mitzvah l'shmoa. So he means to say that on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel you wouldn't allow Shema Koina. So each and every person has to blow shofar, all the men. It's probably a mitzvah sasesh, as mangrama. The women are probably, maybe, are exempt from the mitzvah. Let's say, kol sheyeshna b'mitzvah Yom Kippur, yeshna b'mitzvah tkiyas. Tkiyas Yom Kippur, maybe. I don't know. Got to look in the Rambam, see what he says, whether women are mechuyev to hear on Rosh Hashanah. You don't say kol sheyeshna b'mitzvah Rosh Hashanah. The women are not permitted to do malach on Rosh Hashanah. So we don't say that since they have the mitzvah not to do malacha, they're obligated to listen to Kiyas Shabbat. Probably on Kippur Shabbat you have a loss or not. Probably the women are not mechuyif. So let's say all the men are mechuyif to blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shabbat. So we wouldn't allow Shemei Kohenah, because it's not a mitzvah to Shmoa, it's a mitzvah to Tekoa. Not sure exactly what the Rama meant by that. Why Taka does it? Why does the Taka work? How come the institution works? The Mishnah has like that about the Keh blows, and everybody's yotzed. About the Keh has to be mechuyah bedover. You can't have a woman, even though the best balas Keh and the whole shul is a woman, so a woman cannot blow shofar to be motzi a man. If she wants to blow for herself, that's fine. Wants to blow for other women, that's fine. But if she wants to blow for the men won't be yotzed because mishena mechuyah bedover and motzi a sarabi medechoy vasim. That's the Mishnah. So how is Taka the Baal Tekeh motzi the whole Tzibur? So there are two interesting tshuvas in the Avnei Nezer. There are three tshuvas, one after the other. The Avnei Nezer's father was a chassidish Rav also, and his brother was a big Talmid Chacham. So the brother corresponded with the Avnei Nezer, and he wrote him that he once heard from the father that the Baal Tekeh is motzi all the people in the shul using the principle of Shamea Ka'ayna. Like one person recites Kiddush, Abdullah, and everybody's yaitzah with Shamea Ka'ayna. So the Avnei Nezer says it can't be. Shamea Ka'ayna only applies if he's saying something with words, Kiddush and Abdullah, Brichas HaMazon, so you have to say words. So the one who pays attention and knows what he's talking about, then you say Shemei Kainah. But if there's a mitzvah to make noise, let's say there's a mitzvah to make noise when they read Haman's name, so you make a racket. So why do you need everybody to make noise with their own gragger? Have one person, a rabbi should appoint one person, he'll make noise, and everybody will be yotzeh with Shemei Kainah. So the Avnei Nezer says, you don't apply Shemei Kainah when there's a mitzvah to make noise. Only applied when there are words being said. And Kiyas Shofar, there are no words. There's no content. So you can't say Shemeya on the noise. Shemeya Ka'ayna. So how are we Yotzei? So he says it must be based on Shlichas. That the Baal Tekeh is the Shliach. So why can't you make a Shliach to put on tefillin? Why can't you make a Shliach to daven for you? So he works very hard to explain why. And then and he says, he writes to his brother, you must have heard wrong. Must have had wax in the ears. Their father couldn't have said such a thing. That the Yotzei Kiyas Shofar based on Shemei Ka'ayna doesn't make any sense. Then after a correspondence back and forth, then he gives in to the brother. He says, yeah, it makes more sense the way you said. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a person saying Kiddush and Avdolah to be Yotzei everybody else. The Gemara in the context of the Baal Tekeh be Yotzei everybody else. So the Pashtus in the Gemara is that it is based on Shemei Ka'ayna. Either Taina that he says Shemei Ka'ayna, it only applies. It's an argument. It only applies when the person is saying words with a content, but it's just making noise. So the pashtus is taka that the Kiyas Shofar is not just a mitzvah to make noise. Maybe Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is just to make a racket. It's a siman l'shiluach avodim, like the neighbors here on New Year's Eve, on Rosh Hashanah. By them, how do they celebrate? They blow shofar. They make a racket on New Year's Eve. Why? They want to show that they're wild. It's free. They can do whatever they want. So the Torah says we should make such a racket on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel as a siman l'shiluach avodim. Eved Ivri goes free. Eved Ivri goes free on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's not just a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to make noise. It's considered as if the Tekiyas Shofar blends in with the davening. That's why we blow shofar in the middle of the davening. In the month of Elul, the minig in Lithuania used to be, in the month of Elul, they blew shofar after the Dover Hashem Mori, after the davening was all over. That's in this new little booklet by the rabbi from Baltimore. He writes that this is a new American minig, to blow shofar before the Dover Hashem Mori. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik also complained about that. He said in Europe he never saw such a minig, to blow shofar in Chodesh Elul in the middle of the davening. Said Rosh Hashanah, the Tekiyas Shofar blends in to be considered part of the davening. But in the whole month of Elul, it has nothing to do with the davening. It should be after the davening is all over, to be ma'oras, to do tshuva. So the Tekiyas Shofar, even though it's only a sound, there are no words, but in a certain sense is considered as if there are words. Tekiyas Shofar, Tekiyas, the first time relates to the bracha of Malchus. Tekiyas Shofar, Tekiyas, the second time relates to the bracha of Zechorinus. That's how Rashi writes in his commentary on the Mishnah. And the third Tekiyas Shofar Tekiyas relates to the bracha of Shofaris. Rashi's explaining the Gemara. The Gemara says, Min HaTorah, you have to blow shofar three times Tekiyas Shofar Tekiyas, and you yotzeh. So Rashi says, why three times? So one in connection with Malchus, one in connection with Zechorinus, and one in connection with Shofaris. That's the Rashi. The Rashi sounds very strongly that he implies that Malchus Achayinu Shofar is Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas, is a din min HaTorah. Not like the Ramban and Chumash, that the whole Malchus Achayinu Shofar is only with the Rabbanon, and the whole institution of Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas is only with the Rabbanon. But even according to the Ramban, who says that it's Midir Rabbanon, but Midir Rabbanon also, the Tkiyas blend in with the davening, otherwise it would constitute a hepsik in the middle. You don't shake a lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel, because the lulav blends in with the Hallel. Oz Yiranu Kalatza Yar. The ninu of the lulav is based on Oz, the pasuk, Oz Yiranu Kalatza Yar. That we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of nature is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So the lulav blends in, the ninu of the lulav blends in with the Hallel. You don't blow shofar in the middle of Hallel. Shofar doesn't blend in with Hallel. Hallel, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shofar is a bakosha, a tefillah, a tchina. We're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The concluding paragraphs of Malchus Achayinu Shofar is a bakosha, bakosha sarachim. So the tkiyah shofar blends in with that concluding paragraph to elevate the level of the tefillah, that it should be a stronger tefillah. So that's what's usually assumed, that the institution of a Baal Tekeah blowing and everyone being yotzeh is not based on shlichus. The Paskim and Shulchan Aruch have a lashon that the Baal Tekeah is the shliach, but it's only a melitza. The pashtus is, I don't mean it's really based on shlichus. The pashtus is that it's based on Shemei Kaina. The Gemara says that in the Beis Hamikdash they had a special practice on a tiny sibur. The mitzvah was to blow chatzotzos. When there's an eis tzor, you have to blow chatzotzos. This karet melefnei Hashem elokechem, and on Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah to blow shofar. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, "Bechatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei Hamelach Hashem." In the Beis Hamikdash, whenever you blow shofar, you have to blow chatzotzos together. Whenever you blow chatzotzos, you have to blow shofar together. So on Rosh Hashanah, they used to blow the Baal Tekeah, the shofar was b'emtz, and they had two people blowing chatzotzos min hatzdodim. Simultaneously, all three were blasting away at the same time. The Gemara says, "How is anybody yotze? Trei koli lo mishtami." So you can't hear the shofar. So the Gemara works on the kasha a little bit till he finally come to the conclusion that I did the chaviv yayiv daitne. That in general, all year long, we have a rule: trei koli lo mishtami. But over here, tkiyah shofar only comes once a year, so it's a mitzvah chaviv ad miot. So therefore, the people will pay special attention and they will be able to listen to the Kol HaShofar despite the fact that the two people min hatzdorim are blowing the chatzotzos at the same time as the shofar. And then on a tiny sibur, the mitzvah is to blow chatzotzos. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you used to have two people blowing shofar on either side of the one blowing the chatzotzos. On Rosh Hashanah, since the Yikam mitzvah sayom is b'shofar, so the shofar is b'emtza. On a tiny sibur, since the Yikam mitzvah sayom is b'chatzotzos, so the chatzotzos are b'emtza. How do you know that you always have b'emtza, the one who is the most choshev? So the Ran on the Rif quotes the Gemara that if three people are walking on a highway, one is a Talmid Chacham, one of the two students, so the Talmid Chacham goes b'emtza, and the two Talmidim go to the right and to the left. So here also, they're not talking about human beings over here, we're talking about blowing shofar and chatzotzos, but still on Rosh Hashanah, since the Ikam Mitzvah Sayyam is b'shofar, so the shofar should be b'emtza, the shnei chatzotzos min hatzdodim. And the tiny sibur, the ikam mitzvah sayam is tkiyas chatzotzos. So the two shofar should be menatzan. So the Gemara says that din, that whenever you blow shofar, you should have chatzotzos along with. Whenever you blow chatzotzos, you should have the shofar with it. That din only applies in the Beis Hamikdash. Chutz le Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't apply. We don't do it today, and they never did it. Only in the Beis Hamikdash, because that's how the pasuk reads in Tehillim. Bechatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei HaMelech Hashem. Lefnei HaMelech only means in the Beis HaMikdash. Exactly which part of the Beis HaMikdash? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch discusses, that the term lefnei Hashem appears in Chumash and in Tanakh in different places, and each place it has a different meaning. V'shochat es ben habakar lefnei Hashem. So shchitas karbonos has to be in the Azara. You can't just shecht anywhere in Yerushalayim. V'yachalto sham lefnei Hashem elakecha ma'isa digoncha b'sirosh chavitza recha. So the pasuk says you can eat ma'isa sheni in all of Yerushalayim. So in the context of that pasuk, v'yachalto sham lefnei Hashem elakecha means all of Yerushalayim. And sometimes lefnei Hashem means harabah. You see, it is din. V'chatzotzos v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei Melech Hashem. So the Gemara says, where did they do that? Where exactly were they standing when they blew the chatzotzos in the kol shofar? So the Gemara says, harabah. It wasn't in Yerushalayim, it wasn't in the Azara, it was Harabites. So So in the context of that pasuk, the expression of Lefnei Hashem refers to the Har HaBayis. There are three different levels of Kedushas. Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash. So the different levels, the Eser Kedushas saying, the 10, that's how the Mishnah says in the first parak in Kalim. Eser Kedushas saying there are 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein HaBadim, that's the highest level of Kedusha. Then you go into the Heichal, as a slightly lower level of Kedusha. Then you go into the Ulam, in front of the Heichal, so that's a question in the Gemara. What status does the Ulam have? Does it have a slightly lower status from the Heichal? Then you have Bein Ulam Alam Mizbech, is a lower status. Then you have Safan Azar, then you have the rest of the Azara. Then you have the Har HaBayis, in different parts of Har HaBayis, Midrabanan, on the level of the Reis, all of Har HaBayis is the same. But the Rabbanim, different parts of Har HaBayis have different levels of Kedusha. And as you go further and further out from the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kedusha HaMikdash gets less and less. So the Gemara says that this special din, this was only in the Beis HaMikdash, happened to have been in the Har HaBayis, it says. The Svasemes on the Gemara Erechin is bothered with Akasha. The Mishnah in Erechin speaks of the Shiras Halavim. Every day when they did Nisach Hayayin after the Tamar Shal Shach and after the Tamar Shal Ben Abayin and after the Musafim, when they did the Nisach Hayayin, so the Levim used to sing a Shir Shal Yom. They would divide the Shir Shal Yom up into three parts, then they would recite one third, and then they would blow shofar, and they would play musical instruments, then recite another third and blow shofar again and play musical instruments. And the Mishnah lists off all the different musical instruments, and it says that on certain occasions in the course of the year, they would blow chatzaitzvahs. And it doesn't say that they blew shofar in conjunction with the chatzaitzvahs. So that's what the Svasemis is about to become. What happened to this din? For chatzaitzvahs, for kol shofar, hariyol of ne'amel Hashem, then in the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you blow chatzaitzvahs, it has to come in conjunction with a shofar. Whenever you blow shofar, it has to come together with chatzaitzvahs. How come when the Levim had this orchestra, and they were playing the musical instruments, so on various occasions they blew chatzaitzvahs, the Mishnah says which days, special days in the year, they blew chatzaitzvahs, and they didn't blow shofar together with it. So he doesn't have a teretz. So I think it's usually assumed that the teretz is the following. If you have a musical accompaniment to the Shir Shal Yom, so you have to figure out which musical instruments make sense and which don't. So the shofar just doesn't blend in. The shofar is just going to throw everything off. The Mishnah says they had the musicians and they figured out which musical instruments make sense and which not. On Rosh Hashanah and on a Taina Sibur, you're not talking about playing music. You're talking about tefillah. On a Taina Sibur, the Mishnah says in Maseches Tainis that the Chazan and the Chazaras Hashatz would add on an additional 6 brachas. Instead of 18 brachas, normally 18 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei used to be 18 brachas, so they would add an additional 6, adding up to 24 brachas. And then at the conclusion of each one of those 6 additional brachas that were recited in the Chazaras Hashatz, they would blow chatzaitzvahs. The chatzaitzvahs, the blowing of the chatzaitzvahs, they elevate the tefillah to be a more serious tefillah. Why are they fasting? Why is it a tainasi? Because it's an eisor. There's atziris gishamim. There's an epidemic. There's a plague. There's some kind of a major problem. And the bezdin is an eretz yisrael goes a tainas. So we want to have zo'oka. That's how the Rambam starts off Hilchas Tainis. Mitzvah Zesem and Atar, Lizik Olohariya, Al Kol Tzora Shalai Tov Al Atzibur. So mitzvah, Lohariya means to blow chatzaitzvahs, and Lizik means to cry out, to scream out, not stam davening the way we daven, to daven with more seriousness, because it's such a bad situation, it's a Tzora Satzibur. Everyone is Bisakana there. So the same is true on Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban makes a parallel. The Ramban on the Chamas makes a parallel. Blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah after Malchus Reina Shofars is similar to blowing shofar on a Taina Sibur after the conclusion of each one of the 6 additional brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz. And the purpose of the Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz is to elevate the level of the tefillahs, to make the bakoshes more serious. That's lizard, that's za'aka. Instead of just playing tefillah from all year long, that's called za'aka. So maybe that's the pshat. In the Beis HaMikdash is basically tefillah yikar. Beis HaMikdash is not only a makam hakrovas hakarbonis. Shlaima HaMelech, when he finished the building of the Beis HaMikdash, offered his beautiful tefillah. So he calls upon all human beings to come, Jews and non-Jews, to come to the Beis HaMikdash to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They shouldn't pray to the Avodah Zarah. They should come to the Beis HaMikdash and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and even if you live in New York, when you daven, you have to face Vispalo alecha derech habayis hazeh. You have to face the Beis Hamikdash. You have to face Eretz Yisrael, face Yerushalayim, and so on. So the Beis Hamikdash is the ikar makom tefilo. That's what the Gemara points out. The pasuk says after Miyam shachar Beis Hamikdash ninalu shari tefila. The gates of tefila are locked, and the prayers are not going to be answered to the same extent that they were answered bezman shel Beis Hamikdash haikai. The Beis Hamikdash is the Mokma Tefillah. So that's probably what the Gemara means. In the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Mokma Tefillah, and you're blowing Shofar or Chatzotzer, either you're blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or you're blowing Chatzotzeris, because it's a Taina Sibur, and the purpose of the blowing of the Shofar is to enhance the davening, to elevate it to the level of Zaaka. So then, Komok Mishesh Shofar Yesh Chatzotzeris, Komok Mishesh Chatzotzeris Yesh Shofar. But the Levim play music every day when they sing the Shir Shal Yom, so that's for the purpose of music, that's not for the purpose of Za'aka. So if the Shofar fits in, you throw in whatever fits in. You don't throw in a Shofar if it's going to be Mekalkal the whole music. So the Pashta says that that's the teretz to this Fasem, this is Kasha. The only time the Gemara has the Pasek B'chatzot first, the Kol Shofar Haril of Ne'amelach Hashem, is only when the purpose of the blowing of the chatzotzis and the blowing of the shofar is to serve as part of the davening. The Gemara says the Chachamim introduced more tkiyas than are really necessary. Lama tokim imring shen yeshvim tokim imring shehei momdi. Why do we blow tkiyas the miyushav and tkiyas the miyumat? What exactly are the tkiyas the miyushav and tkiyas the miyumat? So it's usually assumed that what we call the Shemone Esrei is really the Amidah. Everybody stands in the middle of Shemone Esrei. So tkiyas the miyumot are the tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. And tkiyas the miyushav, we usually assume, are the tkiyas after maftir, before you start davening musaf. That's how we usually assume. The Baal Hamor has an original interpretation. He's always very original. So the Baal Hamor claims that the institution of tkiyas before musaf is from the days of the Gaonim. That didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. Why did the Gaonim introduce tkiyas before Musaf? Because they introduced all these piyutim. So the Musaf is going to take forever. So people can't stay in shul. The Cholim is Kainim, the Noshim, the Boris, the Menikas, they can't stay in shul till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They can't stay till 12 o'clock. They have to leave early. They have to leave at 10 o'clock and prepare the meal, whatever. They're not going to sit in shul so long. So because there were so many people leaving early, they can't wait till the end. They have so many piyutim in the middle of Musaf. So that's why the Gaonim introduced the Tkiyas before Chazaras Hashatz. So how do you translate the words in the Gemara? What's the Tkiyas the Miyusha? What's the Tkiyas the Miyumot? So the Baal Hamor says Tkiyas the Miyusha was in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, when everybody, the Chazan is standing, but everybody, there's decorum in the synagogue and everybody's sitting in their seat. And the Tkiyas the Miyumot is when everybody's folding their talis and running out of shul. There's a stampede to leave the shul. So everybody's running. So that's called Tkiyas the Miyumot. Whatever it is, we have all of them. We have tkiyas before Musaf, either according to the Baal Hamor, instituted by the Goyim, or according to all the Rishonim, instituted by the Amoraim. Then we have tkiyas in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz, which Rashi seems to say is Men HaTorah. And the Ramban and Chumash and Parshas Hamor disagrees. He says, what do you mean? The whole Malchus Chayim Shurv is only the Rabban. Then we have more tkiyas at the end. The Sach HaKol, our meaning is, Tosfos quotes from the Aruch, Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel quotes from the Aruch, Sach HaKol, we blow Mea Koilas in the shul. If you blow for somebody at home who didn't come to shul, so you just blow 30 kodesh. You blow tkiyah, truah, tkiyah three times. But there are three versions of what the truah is, so we blow all the three possibilities. We blow three times tashrat, we blow three times tashat, and three times tarat, that's all. But in shul, the meaning is that you blow mea kodesh. What's the mea kodesh? Where does the lucky number mea kodesh come from? So Tosfos quotes from the Aruch. The Aruch quotes it from the Gaonim. Tosfos quotes from the Aruch that this is Keneged the Mea Koilos that Imo Shel Sisra was crying. Where does she come in here? Sisra was Sartzva Melech Yovin, I think, and he was the general of the Goyish army who was always waging war against the Jewish people, and they finally killed him one fine day in a battle. Not in a battle. Yoel Eshes Cherakeni chopped his head off. So that was the end of Sisra. And his mother, so Shiraz Dvaira, Dvaira was singing this praise to Oztoy. So Shiraz Dvaira, she mentions this, that Sisra's mother was crying by the window, waiting, how come her son didn't come home? And she knew that something terrible must have happened. They were trying to calm her down. She says, no, it's terrible. So the Apparently, there's a medrash that says that she shed 100 tears. So we blow mea kolos kenegadim at the sister. So that's the question. What do we care about Imshal Sisra? Can you have the kolay vech Hashem? What should we worry about her for? So the different interpretations given. Why are we worried about Imshal Sisra? But many other sources from the Gaonim have it differently. They say that the mea kolos akeneged sara imenu, that the Sutton, the medrash says that the Sutton told Rashi and Chumash quotes this. The Sutton told Sarah about the Akedah. He told her something about the Akedah. Kemat shaloi nishchat Yitzchak. That's a Rashi quote. It's a very, how do you translate into English? Kemat shaloi nishchat Yitzchak. He was almost not killed. What he was not killed. What do you mean he was almost not killed? He was not killed. So what did the Sutton tell her already? So she was crying and she cried herself to death. The Akedah, according to the tradition, occurred on Rosh Hashanah and Sarah died on Rosh Hashanah. So as a zecher to the Akedah, when we blow shofar shalayel as a zecher to the Akedah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zcholon HaKedah Sitzchot, so as a zecher to the Akedah, we blow mea kolos. So that's, they're also different versions. What do you mean? What did the Sutton tell her? So some interpret, the Sutton told her that Yitzchot was killed. And that was her only child, so she cried herself to death. And others say no. Sutton told her he was not killed. So why did she cry? So some of the Mefarshim say she thought that Avram and Yitzchak decided not to listen to the Rabban Shalom's tzivoy. If the Rabban Shalom commanded him to kill his son and he didn't do it, so she was ready to, she got a heart attack and she died from that. Even though her son was spared, she had a husband and a son, but they violated Ratzon Hashem. It's a question exactly what's going on here. Tosis is bothering with the Kasha, not Gemara, in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. Lama tokum imbrim kishahim yoshim, tokum imbrim kishahim omdim, that's on Daf Tezai, and all the dinim of Rosh Hashanah that are negetos on the last two prokim. And there's a little bit on the first prokim, not too much, that's also irrelevant. So one is on Daf Tezai, where the Gemara has this institution of Tekiz the Miusham and Tekiz the Miuham. So Tosis there is bothered with the Kasha, are we not in violation of Bal Tosif? If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us that we have to take Dalad Minim and instead we take five minim, so that's Bal Tosif. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells the Kohanim they should duchen and they should say three psukim, so if they recite additional psukim, there'll be a violation of Bal Tosif. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us to blow nine kolos, tkiya trua, tkiya three times. So we're not sure what the correct form of trua. So we blow 30 kolos and we're covered. So how are we allowed to blow mea kolos? Why isn't that a violation of Bal Tosif? The Tosis gives different suggestions. The Minchas Chinuch has a famous suggestion on Tosis Kasha, which the latest Svarim point out is given by the Sefer Yireim. Minchas Chinuch was mechaven to the teretz of the Sefer Yireim, that in the Chumash it doesn't say how many tkiyas, it doesn't say explicitly how many tkiyas, it just says Yom Tru Yelachem. It sounds from the Chumash that you blow shofar all day long. Then the Torah Shemal Ped derives from the Psukim, what's the minimum that you have to blow? So if you blow Tkiya Truah Tkiya three times, so then you're Yotzit. But if you blow more than that, you're in fulfillment of the Pshut Shel Mikra. Yom Truah Yalachem sounds like you blow Shofar all day long. The nine Kailas or the 30 Kailas, that's the minimum. But if you have more, it's all Nitfas as a Chelik of the Mitzvah. That's how the Netziv has a diuk in the Rambam on Pesach night, you're obligated to eat a kazayis matzah. So the Rambam doesn't write that. The Rambam says on Pesach night, you're obligated to eat matzah. Mishochel kazayis yotza. Instead of writing it's a mitzvah to eat kazayis matzah, he doesn't say like that, the Rambam. He says mitzvah to eat matzah. And if you've eaten a kazayis, then you're yotza. You don't have to eat more. Sounds from the Rambam, if you eat more than a kazayis, this is all considered a hemshech of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not over, the hemshah. So the Netziv has other mishalim like that. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long essay about this in his Sefer Oitzu Siyosef. He must have given long drushes for the Balabatim, 5 hours long. He has a Sefer Oitzu Siyosef that only has around 10 drushes. Each drush must have taken hours and hours and hours to deliver with Mar Mekoymus, and he said everything. I wonder if anybody followed from the beginning to the end. Rabbi Kiveger also used to give the Shabbos Agadol Pilpul and Shabbos Shuvah Pilpul. That's such Pilpulim. You wonder how did Rabbi Kiveger himself follow? How did he help come from the beginning to the end? So the Balabatim were able to follow. That's how they say that once Rabbi Kiveger gave a whole Pilpul on Shabbos Agadol before Pesach, he's talking about Tam Kiker. Tam Kiker, the Gemara talks about Tam Kiker himself. Tam Kiker means if you have kosher food, but it has a non-kosher ingredient in it, has a little chametz mixed in, and you can taste the flavor of the chametz. So they say that Rabbi Kamega gave this long pilpul about Tam Kikar, and by the end of the pilpul, everybody was sleeping. There was one balabas who stayed awake from the beginning to the end. So Rabbi Kamega gave my Yashikoyach that he was able to follow from the beginning to the end. So he gave Rabbi Kamega Yashikoyach. He enjoyed the shiur. Just has one question: What is the loaf of bread taste like? He thought it was Tam Kikar. He didn't know what he was talking about the whole time. Tam Kikar. If you have a flavor of chametz mixed into the food, it's considered kikar, as if you're eating the chametz. And the Balbas story kept on talking about tam kikar, the flavor of a loaf of bread, a kikar, kikar shel lecha. I remember once Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Yahrzeit drasha every year. So many people came. He used to have hundreds and hundreds of people came. So I remember one Balabas was so inspired, he enjoyed the Yahrzeit drasha so much, he came the next day to the regular shiur. The next day, years later, Rav Soloveitchik used to learn Mishnayos the whole day on his yard site, on his father's yard site. Didn't say a shiur gemara, but that year he gave a regular shiur. So he started Perek Zeboira in Sanhedrin. We had finished the first two brachot. It was up to the beginning of the third Perek Zeboira Le'echa, Zeboira Le'echa. So Rav Soloveitchik kept on referring to it as Zablon. That's a Rashi Tiv, a Zion based Lamanam, Zeboira Le'echa. So he kept on giving the shiur in Yiddish, giving the whole shiur, talk. At the end of 2 hours, so this balabas was sitting in the back. So he screams out in Yiddish, Yashukoyach Rebbe, and he says, I have one question, what does Ablo mean? That was what the whole shiur was all about. The whole shiur was talking, what's the nature of the din? Is it a din deraisa, din derabanan? They didn't know what the words Ablo mean. No. The Gemara has a rule, kol ha-koilas k'sherin b'shoifer. Sometimes the batikir blows, so sometimes the tkir comes out very thick, and sometimes comes out screechy. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter whether it's high pitch, low pitch, as long as it sounds like a tekiah. Rav Soloveitchik would sometimes insist that they have to switch the bal tekiah. They would have different people would blow on Chodesh Elul and in Maimonides. So he would tell them, but they shouldn't blow on Rosh Hashanah. He didn't like the kolos. So he said, I bought kolos, kolos, k'sherim, b'shofar. So he says, kolos, kolos means screechy, high, or thick. That's a different thing. But if it doesn't sound like a kol shofar, it sounds like a dog barking, that's the Loshon HaGemara. The Gemara says, the person hears tkiyah shofar, and he doesn't even realize that bal tekiah is blowing shofar, he thought that it's a dog barking. So even if your old mitzvah ain't sriachas kavana, but you have to know, you can't be misasek, you have to know that someone's blowing a shofar. If you think that it's a donkey making noise, or a dog barking, then for sure you're not yet. So he said, we don't always apply kol ha-kolos k'sherim b'shofar. It has to sound like a kol ha-shofar. The Mishnah says that one can only blow shofar to be motzi the rabbi midei chalasim if he himself is mechuyev b'dover. If he's not mechuyev, if he's a boy who just became bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says bar mitzvah doesn't just depend on being yud gimel shanav yamechot after his 13th birthday. He has to have his body already started to develop. He's roi l'hoilet. He has to have shtei saris. The boy, the girl, has to have shtei saris on the day so erevon. So how do you know if a person has shtei saris? We don't know. We don't look. What, we're going to go tell about the kei? We want to check to see that you have shtei saris. So if his beard already started to grow, then Taisa says we know that for sure the shtei saris are growing. Or if he has hair on his fingers already, so then we know that the shtei saris have grown on the eva ha'erva already also. But if his beard didn't start growing and he doesn't have hair on his fingers yet, so how do you know that he has shtei saris? Maybe he's still a cotton. So the boy gets an aliyah on his bar mitzvah and he let him daven for an omid. That's a din derabbanan. The chazan davening for an omid. With respect to din derabbanan, we rely on what the Gemara calls the chazaka of rova. Rova says maseches nida that we usually assume a ruba deleisa kamon, a chazaka of a ruba deleisa kamon, that whoever his higir lishonim, if the girl is 12 years old already and the boy is 13, we assume they probably have shtei saris. But with respect to a din deraisa, being the baltikeya, to be motzi acherim, or with respect to signing a get, or with respect to, let's say, doing the ibud lishmo on the parchment that you're going to write tefillin and mezuzah on. So for that, Rabbi Kevega has a whole shuva where he complains that the sofrim used to use young boys as assistants that were just barely bar mitzvah. And no one checked to see that they have shtei saris. So he said, that's not right. They would use the boys as assistants to do the ibud ha'or lishmo. So Rabbi Kevegra assumes that the ibud ha'or lishmo is a din daraisa, and a kotten who's a lab bardas can't create lishmo. So he says it's not right. They have to use a person who for sure is bar mitzvah. With respect to a din daraisa, It's not proper to rely. You shouldn't rely on the chazaka de rova that whoever is ready 13 probably has the shtei sirus. So you have to make sure the Baal Tekeh is one who is mechuyav b'dova. And then the Gemara has the shaila. What if the Baal Tekeh already was yoytze and shul? Everybody wanted to be yoytze tkiyas al seder bracha. He heard the tkiyas before Musaf, he heard the tkiyas in the middle of Musaf. He was yoytze already. So can he go to the hospital later and blow shofar for somebody else? He's no longer mechuyav b'dover. He was ready yoytze, so he's no longer mechuyav. How can he be yoytze the others yidei chayvos? So that's what the Gemara says at the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah. That's okay. Yotza Moitzi. Even though the Baal Tekeh himself was Yotzi already, he can blow shofar again in order to be Moitzi those who were not yet Yotzi. So Rashi and all the Rishonim quote this from Rashi. Rashi and all the Rishonim say that this is based on the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. Means the Kolzman that there's still a Jew left in the world, even though I already heard the kids, but if there's still a Jew left in the world in New Zealand who didn't. I always thought New Zealand is the furthest place in the world, but we have a boy learning in the Kerala from New Zealand. It's the center of the world. He was born in New Zealand. Okay. So maybe Alaska or whatever. I guess there are Jews from Alaska too. So if as long as there's a Jew somewhere in the end of the world who wasn't Yotze, Kiyas Shofar means, so I wasn't fully Yotze. So I have a Chiyav to blow Shofar again, to hit Kiyas again, if it'll help someone else. So by my blowing shofar again, someone else will listen in and they'll be yotze with shemei kaina. So I'm still mechuyav to blow. Not I'm mechuyav to blow for him. I'm mechuyav to blow for myself. I have to hear it the second time. I have to hear the shofar the second time. And I'm being yotze again with tkiyas, and he's being yotze along with me with the din of shemei kaina. Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about this. If I blow a second time for a man, so I can even say the brachas for the man. If the man does not know how to say his own brachas. Strictly speaking, if the man knows that, let's say I'm blowing in the hospital for men. So if they know how to say the bracha, they should really say the bracha on their own. The din of Yotza Moitzi, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, only applies if the other fellow does not know how to blow shofar. But how to say the, he probably knows how to say the bracha. So let him say his own bracha. I really shouldn't say the bracha for you. The minig is, that's what the Mefarshim write on Shulchan Aruch. The minig is that when the Baal Tekeh blows for men, even though the men know how to say the bracha, so the minig always is that the Baal Tekeh says the two brachas to be moitzi them also. Strictly speaking, would it be more correct they should say the one bracha? So then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what if the Baal Tekeh is blowing, he already was yoitzi and shul is blowing for women. So then he cannot say the bracha on behalf of the women. The women, you can't say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. The women are not mechuyav in Tekeh Shofar. There's even a machlokes, some Rishonim hold you're not allowed to carry the shofar and the Rishus Sarabim on behalf of women. Since they're not mechuyev, so you're doing a malacha on Yom Kip, on Yontif, you're not allowed to carry on Yontif, only Tzorach Ochon Nefesh and Tzorach Ayon Tzas. So if you want to carry the shofar for a man to be Yotze, so that's Tzorach Ayon Tzas. Want to carry the shofar for a woman to be Yotze, so that's a big dispute in the Rishonim. So the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that that's also called Tzorach Ayon Tzas. Since the women want to volunteer, that's Tzorach Ayon Tzas. Also, another Shaila, other Rishonim say, a man is not allowed to, you're not allowed to play piano on Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to play guitar, you're not allowed to play any musical instrument. So how come you're allowed to blow shofar? Why isn't that part of the Gzer D'Rabbanan HaMashmiah Kol? So the Taz quotes from his father-in-law from the Bach, the Chachamim didn't want to prohibit, they didn't have authority to do away with the whole mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. It says, B'Ferish and Nechumish, you have to blow shofar, so they're not going to do away with that. But Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, that's not explicit in the Chumash. It's self-understood that you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah even if it falls out on Shabbos. But since it's not explicit, so that they wanted to asa. But they couldn't asa blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Mikolokol to do away with the whole mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. But the Ramah says, what if the person was already Yotze Tkiyah Shofar and just wants to play for fun? He wants to blow shofar for fun. So then he says that blowing shofar is the same as playing a piano. You're not allowed to blow unnecessarily. That's why it's really a problem. What's the head to the blow mea koilos? How do we ever start this meeting in the first place, the blow mea koilos? If you did whatever was required min ha-Torah, whatever is required min the Rabbanon, you blew tkiyas the miyushav, tkiyas the miyumad. So how do you have a right to develop a meeting to blow mea koilos? Isn't that legamri shalol letzorach? Well, we do it letzorach to fulfill the meeting. How do you have a right to develop such a meeting in the first place? The meaning should be Shalai Kedin.
What if he was going to practice for the Tehillim? He got up early before Shacharis And I said, I want to practice.
Yeah, that's permissible. That's litzorach. Yeah. We once had the Baal Tekeya, was one of the Talmidim, so he was practicing in the dormitory. Leil Rosh Hashanah kept everybody up. It's permissible to practice, not permissible to keep everybody up. It's permissible to practice on Rosh Hashanah. And it says, Shulchan Aruch, even though on the Erev Rosh Hashanah, the meaning is that you don't blow shofar, on the Erev Rosh Hashanah, but if the Baal Tekeya has to practice, that he's permitted to practice, he should practice privately. You shouldn't blow in public on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You should blow privately. So that's a problem, though. So we paskin, you're permitted to carry the shofar in the Rishus Sarabim for women. It is a tzarach yom tzas, even though the women are not obligated to carry shofar, what they want to hear. And it's not forbidden. We don't say that it's an isa mashmiya kol. So there's no heter to blow for women, you're only allowed to blow for men. No, since the women want to fulfill a mitzvah, the Torah and mitzvah, so that's not called, that doesn't go under the category of blowing shofar unnecessarily, that it's also because of mashmiya kol. But the question still is, in the Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries say that if a man is blowing shofar for a woman, and the man was yotzei already in shul, so he may not say the brach on behalf of the women, because he can say yotzei moitzei based on kol yisrael arevim zavizah. The women are not mechuyah. So if the women are not mechuyah, then you can't apply kol yisrael arevim zavizah. So how can he blow the shofar in the first place? How can he blow? He's not mechuyah b'dov. So you say the women are also not mechuyah b'dov. The women are not mechuyah either. So you can have a cotton blow for the women. You can't have a cotton blow for the women. So why isn't the gavel, who was yotzei, the same as the cotton? Why is it different over here? So some of Farshim write, the man who plans to blow shofar for the women, later on, his grandmother's at home, he's going to plan to blow for his grandmother. When they blow shofar in the shul, he should have a mind not to be yotzei. It's not a smart thing. We have a mind not to be yotzei. This is a real din. He has a mind not to be yotzei in order to make his grandmother happy. It doesn't make sense. There's a question over here. What's going on by the women? I don't know, but that's the practice. The Baal Tekeya blows for the women. We wouldn't allow a cotton to blow for the women. Cotton is not mechuyah b'dovah, so the Baal Tekeya should also be considered not mechuyah b'dovah. But that's the practice. The Baal Tekeya, who is yotzei already, blows for the women. He tells the women they should say the one brach. And Tekeya Shofar, we say two brachas. We say in addition to the brichas hamitzvah, we say shechyonu, because it's a mitzvah habam is man is man. We should really be excited every day when you put on tefillin. You should say shachyanu, and when you put on a talis every day, you should say shachyanu, talis cotton, you should say shachyanu. But you do the mitzvah every day, so we got used to it, so we're not so excited. But if you have a mitzvah bom, mizman lizman, mikra megillah is once a year, and kiyah shofar is once a year, so that we say shachyanu. So that's inshallah. What about on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're not so excited, we just blew shofar yesterday. So maybe you shouldn't say shachyanu. So that's a machlokes in Rishon, the Rosh, in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes that machlokes, whether you say shachyonim on the second day of Rosh Hashanah at Kiyah Shoyva. That's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah. Mechaber paskins that you do not say shachyonim on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day of Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, and no one blew the shofar. So then the second day is the first time they blew in the whole year. So then you say shachyonim. And the Ramah says, our practice, that we say shachyonim, the first day and the second day. The Sfardim follow the Mechaber, the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. Here in Broyas, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, the text of the daven is Ashkenaz, but they follow Minhagei Sfard, so they follow the Mechaber. That they don't say Shechana on the second day, Rosh Hashanah by the Tiyah Shechana. Same thing, Mikra Megillah by Yom. There's a Machlekes HaRishonim, the Rambam in the Tosfos, so the Mechaber passes like the Rambam. You don't say Shachyonim when you read the Megillah in the morning of Purim, because you just read the Megillah last night. So you're not so excited anymore. It's not that we haven't heard the Megillah in a year. We just heard the Megillah last night. And there are more paskins like the Tosfos that you do say Shachyonim even in the morning on Mikra Megillah. So they're in Broyas also. They daven Nusach Ashkenaz. They say the text of the daven is Nusach Ashkenaz, but all the Minhagim, they follow Svart. So they don't, the Maril records is that they don't say Shachyonim on the morning in Mikra Megillah. Whenever there are two Haftarahs, Haftarah for Ashkenazim, Haftarah for the Svardin, so they'll say the Haftarah for the Svardin. Broyas is the opposite from the Hasidim. The Hasidim daven Nusach Svard, the text of the davening, but they follow all Minhagei Ashkenaz. They don't follow Minhagei Svard. And Broyes is the Hepa. They daven Nusach Ashkenaz, the text of the Siddur is Ashkenaz, but they follow Minhagei Svarim. It's a question, why? What's going on there? Second night of Rosh Hashanah is also a Machlekes, where they say Shachyonah when they Kiddush. What's the issue? The second night of Pesach, and the second night of Shavuos, and the second night of Sukkot. Everybody agrees, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, that you say Shachyonah. Why is that? Because the other Yom Tovim are based on Sveika Diyom. And even though Bizman Hazeh, we already have a Luach Kavua. So what's the Sveika Diyom? Bizman Shikitra Piyariya, you can say there was a Sofek. Which day is really Rish Chodesh and which day is really Yantav? But Bizman Hazeh, we have a Luach Kavua. You know years in advance when Yantav is going to be. So the answer is, that's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Beitza, that they sent the letter, the Rabbanim and Eretzah sent the letter, Sholchem Itam. We should still continue the practice of our forefathers to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So our forefathers used to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, the Torah Sveika D'Yoma. So we should make believe as if by us there's also Sveika D'Yoma. So the first night we said Shachyanu, but then we observed the second day Pesach, second day Shavuot, second day Sukkot, as if it's a Sveika D'Yoma. Maybe yesterday was Erev Yom Tov, maybe today's the first day Pesach. So then if maybe today's the first day Pesach, so you got to say Kiddush all over again, you got to say Shavyonah, and so on and so forth. It's a Sofik Brochus, we usually say Sofik Brochus L'Akya. So the Gemara says over here, Kideich Keecha Dolola Zalzulei Bei. We don't want people to be Mezalzel and do Malach and Yantam Sheni. So they said you should go L'Chumra, Sofik Brochus L'Hachmer. That's the Gemara by Mamad Likin. That over here you say Sofik Brochus L'Hachmer, even though it's only Sveik of the Yom, you say the Kiddush and you say the Shavyonah and so on. But the Shailas on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that you don't have any of the kulas. You don't have some of the kulas. You don't have all of the kulas of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Take for example, the Gemara says in the end of Beitza, Refuah is mutter on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So if you have taking medications, you're not allowed to take pills and so on, Shabbos and Yom Tov, but on Yom Tov Sheni, the Gemara says Beferish. All the refuahs are mutter. So that doesn't apply to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Because Yom Tov Sheni Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. But we call Yom Arichta. Rashi calls it Yom Arichta. So the Gemara calls it Kedusha Achas. So that's a shaila that the Rishonim have. And the Gemara says the second day Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta, Kedusha Achas with the first day. Is that only Lahachmir? Or is that even Lahokel? Bein Lahokel, Bein Lahachmir. That's the shaila. Should I say it's Yom Arich, the Kedusha Achas? I just said Shachyana yesterday. So why should I say Shachyana again the second day? There is no Sveika the Yom. It's only Yom Arich. It's only Kedusha Achas. So they say no. Since Bizman Shekitra Piyariya, we today follow the practice of our forefathers. Izor B'minigav Seichem Yadech. So on the other Yomim Taivim, Pesach Shavua Sukkis, our forefathers, before they instituted the Luach Kavua, used to observe 2 days Yom Tov, the Torah Sveika D'Yom. So we still observe today, as if there's still a Sveika D'Yom. On the second day, Rosh Hashanah, that's the Shaila. Why did our forefathers observe 2 days Yom Tov? So the Ramban and Lachamis and Beitza has a whole explanation. He says, Bizman Shekitshu Al Pi Hariya, there was a possibility of having 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes it would be Yom HaRichta, sometimes it would simply be Sveika D'Yom. They just didn't know. When would it be Yom HaRichta? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if Bo Eidim and Amin Chol Amayla, if the Eidim came after Bizman Amigdash, the Eidim came after Hakrabas Tomash Alvein Abayim, so then they're not going to declare the first day as Rosh Chodesh. It's going to be a make a kilkul in the Korbanis and the Shir Shal Yom, everything is going to be off kilter. So the people are waiting, let's say the month of Elul, we observe 29 days of the month of Elul. The Gemara says most of the time, Ruba de Ruba, 99.99% of the time, Elul only has 29 days, and the next day is going to be Rosh Hashanah. But once in a long while, it would turn out that Elul had 30 days, and Rosh Hashanah would be the next day, the 31st day, instead of the 30th day, the end of Elul. So the people would abstain from Malacha on the 30th day of Elul, because there's a possibility, it may turn out that Bezim will declare that day as Rosh Hashanah. So it may turn out that the Bezim will not declare that day. It may turn out that Bezim will declare the second day as Rosh Hashanah. Bezim will make up their mind. The people that live in that village where the Bezim happens to be located will know the secret that tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, the first day is not Rosh Hashanah. But the people in the rest of the world won't know. So they may be, everybody's outside of the Beis Avah. 99% of the Jews live far away from the Beis Avah. Hardly anybody lives in the village where the Beis Nagodol is located. So the Ramban explains the observance of the second day Rosh Hashanah, Bizman Shikitcha al Piyariya, Bizman that they really had a Sveikariyam, could sometimes be Bitorah Sveikariyam. It was really only the second day was Yantav. Really only the first day was Yantav. The Eidim came bright and early in the morning. Bez made the first day Rosh Hashanah. And the people who live far away never knew that it was only the first day. They never knew it's only the second day. So it could be a simple Sveikari Yama. And sometimes it could be Bitoris Nogim Osa Yom Kodesh and Amacha Kodesh. That's sometimes a rare case. If the Eidim Kiddush HaKodesh came in Amin Chalamayla after HaKrovis Tamish HaBein Abayim, so then as a Takanam Dirabbanan, we should continue to observe the first day as Yontif, as Rosh Hashanah Midirabbanan, and we're really going to declare the second day as Rosh Hashanah Derais. So when we today still continue to observe Yontif Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, we observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so Ramban says we are observing because Minigav Seinim Hizor Minigav Seinim Midehem. We're carrying on the practice of our forefathers, and when our forefathers observed, those who lived all over the world, when they observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah, the Torah is what? What did it represent? It represented one of three logical possibilities. Couldn't be the first day was really Rosh Hashanah, and the second day was a Sveik of the Yom. They just didn't know. Could be the best Niklid on the first day tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. They had for whatever reason. They could be they declared tomorrow. So the first day was Mamash Chol, but the people who lived far away from their Beis Avad, where the Bezin was, didn't know. And it could be Nogam Osa Yom Kodesh on the Macha Kodesh. It could be in rare instances, if the Eidim came in Amin Chol Amayla, then it could be that both days will be Rosh Hashanah. The first day will be Rosh Hashanah de Rabbanon, and the second day will be Rosh Hashanah de Raisa. So the Ramban says, because it's possible to be A, B, or C, so today when we observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, he's Zer B'minig HaVaseich Medech, so you have to go L'chumer in all directions. You have to go L'chumer. Maybe it's a Yom HaRichta, maybe it's a Kedusha Achaz, that's why we don't allow Refuas on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it's a Yom HaRichta. But on the other hand, you should really go to Chumrah and say, maybe the first day was maybe the first day was Rosh Hashanah and the second day is a fake. Maybe the second day is Rosh Hashanah and the first day is a fake. It's nothing. So you have both. We today observe Rosh Hashanah 2 days, both B'torah Sveika D'Yom and more. It's not that it's not at all a Sveika D'Yom. No. Part of the story is it could be that it's a B'torah Sveika D'Yom, and it could be that it's B'torah more than a Sveika D'Yom. It could be that it's a Yom HaRichta. But it's not really right to be Mekel based on this. You have to go to Chumrah in both directions. So that's why we assume that despite the fact that we go to Chumrah to treat the 2 days Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaRichta, we still do say, the bottom line, we pass on that you do say Shechiyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We act as if it's a Sveik of the Yom also. Maybe yesterday was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and every Shofar, the Shofar that we blew yesterday was meaningless. Maybe only the second day is the real bona fide Rosh Hashanah.
Can we do Rosh Hashanah on the first
and
second
of
the Sheik? Shouldn't one day's Rosh Hashanah be part of
Elul? Yeah, if the second day Rosh Hashanah is real Rosh Hashanah, then the first day is the last day of Elul, the 30th day of Elul. Yeah.
We don't count the calendar that way. We count the calendar.
Yeah, because we know for sure the Beis Din declared that Elul always has 29 days, and the first day Rosh Hashanah is the real Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur is 10 days after the first day Rosh Hashanah. But the Shochem Itam, they sent a letter, we should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias like our forefathers did.
We don't have 2 days Yom Kippur.
Right, that's too difficult, right? That's a suffix sakana. That's what the Yerushalmi says. They never instituted Yom Tov Sheni Shel Yom Kippur because we're afraid someone's going to die. If they're going to fast 2 days in a row, we're afraid it may cause a sakana. So they only introduced 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Sukkot. Yom Kippur's in between, so for sure we should have 2 days Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi says, no, we don't introduce Yom Tov Sheni Shel Yom Kippur because of a chashash sakana. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote a chumrah from the Hasidi Ashkenaz. That was in the days of the later Balei HaTesis, the days of the Sefer Hasidim and the Rekeach and the Balei HaTesis that came up with chumrah. So they came up with a chumrah. You should always try to do things in such a way to be yotzei they call hashitas, to satisfy all the opinions. So the second day, Rosh Hashanah, there's a machlokes whether you recite Shachyanu in Kiddush or not, whether the Baal Tekeh recites Shachyanu when he blows Shofar or not. So the Hasidi Ashkenaz quoted in the Shulchan Aruch came up with a chumrah. You should have a pri chadosh or a beged chadosh. So for sure you got to say shachyan. So you solve your problem. Even if you don't have to say shachyan, you didn't say a bracha l'batala because the shachyan goes on the pri chadosh or the beged chadosh. So this is really a difficult compromise that the chumra that they came up with is very difficult. What did you really accomplish over here? Let's say a guy says Kiddush, and then before he drinks the wine, he reminds himself he didn't say Asher Yotza yet. He went to the bathroom before he says Kiddush. He's going to say Asher Yotza in between the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. It's like a hefsek. It doesn't belong. If he says Shechyana because it's Shechyana on the Kedushas Hayayim. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, Shechyana, I'm Rafi Lebashuk. You can say Shechyana not over a cup of wine while you're walking in the street. You can say Shechyana on the Kedushas Hayamtas. But if you want to enhance the Hashivas of the Shechyana, so save it till the end of the Kiddush, and then recite Bricha Shechyana Balakos, it will be Yamochash of Ebron. And it's considered part of the Kiddush. He spoke about the Kedushas Hayam and the Kiddush. And then he says Shechyanu over the other. But if the Shechyanu, but if you say the second day Rosh Hashanah really does need a Shechyanu, Shechyanu really goes on the Pi Chodesh or the Beget Chodesh, that's like saying Asher Yotzer in between the Kiddush and drinking the wine. It's like a Hepsik. This is the Shechyanu for the Beget Chodesh or the Pi Chodesh. How does it come in over here? So it doesn't make it a bigger problem. That's how you solve your problem. That creates a problem. How does that make it better? That's Rav Shlomo Zalman has an essay in his Sefer to try to explain how did the Hasidic Ashkenaz think that they solved the problem over here. They solved the problem of Bracha Levatala, but it's still going to be a hefsek. A hefsek in between the reciting of the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. The Minchas Haluza was a Chassidus Aruv. So in addition to his Chibis, Minchas Haluza, he also has several volumes of Divrei Torah, it's called. So he used to say over Chassidus. He used to say over stories or ideas from Chassidus and Tzaddikim. So if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a descendant of the Bnei Yisoschar, Rapir Shmael of Dinever, and he always used to say other things from him. So one of his volumes of Divrei Torah is the only one that I have, because I have a different sefer that has this printed in the end. I don't have the other volumes of the Divrei Torah. So he has his ancestor, the Divrei, the Bnei Yisoschar, thought that this was a bizoyan for Rosh Hashanah. The holiness of Rosh Hashanah is so great, but with the Sufik, when they say Shechyana on the second night, so in order to fix it, so you buy a little fruit for a dollar in the store, and Shechyana on the fruit makes it safe to say the Shechyana on the Yantar. How does it compare? The fruit is insignificant. The Yantar is so much more important than the fruit. He felt that it's a bush, it's a bizoyan to the Yantar to have a fruit on the table. He didn't like this Chumrah. And the Hasidic Ashkenaz. So he thought, bottom line, we paskin, if you don't have a pre chodesh or beg chodesh, you say the Shechyanu, wait a minute, the second day. So he used to say Shechyanu, he didn't have a pre chodesh. He thought taking a pre chodesh or beg chodesh is a bizoyan to the yantar. It's an interesting harashon. There is a discussion in the Shagasari and other paskin whether there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So the Paschim discuss, is it permissible to fast the whole day on Rosh Hashanah? So many in the days of the Gaonim, many Gaonim fasted on Rosh Hashanah. They fasted on Shabbat Shuvah. Shabbos you're not allowed to fast. Shabbat Shuvah, because it's in the middle of Aseres Metshuvah, so many Gaonim had to practice the fast. In Shulchan Aruch, the majority opinion assumes that it's not proper to fast. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So why is that? Because there is a Chayiv Simcha. Yeah, the Pashtus, we assume that there is a Chayiv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Moed Katan, the third parak Moed Katan, has a Machlokes HaTanaim. If a Koyvers Meso, someone dies and the Shiva begins before Yontov, so as soon as Yontov arrives, it cancels the Shiva. Because Yontov has a Chayiv Simcha, and Simcha and Avelus are tied to the Sasri, so you can't have both at the same time, so which one wins? So the Gemara says, Osi Esed the Rabbim, the Simchas Yontov is all of Klal Yisrael. When it comes this day, all of Klal Yisrael has Simcha, and this private person has Avelus the Yochid. So he has to observe the Simchas Yontov and forget about the Avelus the Yochid. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether this only applies on Sholosh Regolim, because on Sholosh Regolim there's a mitzvah of Samach Nebuchadnezzar, or does it even apply in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, we paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are Kibigolim, that it is Mevatla Lavela Shiva, or it is Mevatla Lavela Shloshim. Once the Oval completed the Shiva and he started the Shloshim, so the Yontav cancels the Shloshim. So we pass on Allah, the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur cancel Lavela Shiva and they cancel Lavela Shloshim. If the Shiva is over, then they cancel Lavela Shloshim. So that's the question. Do we only pass on like that because Halachic Debra Mekel Ba'Oval, whenever it comes to Hilchas Avelos, whenever there's a machlekes, they always go lekula. So maybe that's it. Since there's a machlekes hatanoim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancels Avelos, so halachic tiba mekel ba'avol we go lekula. But doesn't necessarily mean that we really paskin that there is a chiyuv simcha in Rosh Hashanah. Maybe not. Maybe the chiyuv simcha is only on Shalosh Regalim. We paskin like that Tana, there's a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur only vis-a-vis to be doich Avelos. Because Allah can tell me above. Maybe really don't pass on that there's a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So that's what the Shagasari has the tshuva. So he comes to the conclusion, yes, there is a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Not just Betoris Allah can tell me above to be Deich Hashiv and Shlosh. We assume there is a chiyuv simcha. So that's why it's really the generally assumed opinion is that there's an Issa Tainus on Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to fast the whole day. If you fast the whole day, that's a bit of the simcha siyantav. So the shot is, but you do fast the whole day until you get home from shul. It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you fast till after chatzos, it says there's already on Shabbos you're not allowed to wait to eat till after chatzos. If you wait to begin to eat the meal till after chatzos, so you violated the mitzvah of Oinig Shabbos. What's going to be on Rosh Hashanah? So that's why a lot of people take a drink of water before they go to shul in the morning. Just like on Shabbos, if you're afraid you're going to miss Chatzah, you say, you have a drink of water in the morning. There's a shaila, let's say a person ate a meal on Rosh Hashanah. All the people I know eat. I don't know those people who fast. In America, we overeat. So maybe we should fast on Rosh Hashanah, but we don't fast. I don't know anybody who fasts. So the Shabbos, what if a person on Rosh Hashanah, he's reciting the Bichas HaMazon, he forgot Yalla V'Yalla. Does he have to repeat the Bichas HaMazon or not? So the Gemara draws a contrast in Brachas. The Gemara draws a contrast between Shabbos and Yom Tov on the one hand, and Chalamayr Rosh Chodesh on the other hand. Chalamayr Rosh Chodesh, there is no obligation to have a Suda. So if you bench and you forget Yalla V'Yalla, you yotze the Bichas HaMazon, you're just not yotze the Suda. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a Chiyuv Suda. So if you leave Avritzeh Yalla V'Yalla, so you're not yotze the Mitzvah Suda. But on Rosh Chodesh and Chalamayr, there is no Chiyuv Suda, just the Chiyuv Bichas HaMazon, so the benching of Yotze without Yalla V'Yalla. So that's the Shailan Rosh Hashanah. Is there really a Chiyuv Suda? But you say, no, it's Mutl the Hisanas on Rosh Hashanah. So even though we pask in La Halacha, you shouldn't fast on Rosh Hashanah, but many Paskim say, if the person ate a meal and he forgot to say Yalla V'Yalla, we wouldn't insist, we wouldn't recommend that he should bench over a second time, because according to the Gaonim, he was allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So how can you say he has to recite, he has to repeat the Bichas HaMazon in order to be kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Siyantu? They hold there's no chiyuv to have a Suda on Rosh Hashanah. So some of the Paskim say, Safik Brachas Lahav. If we would bench on Rosh Hashanah and forget Yalla V'Yalla, we wouldn't repeat the Bichas HaMazon. The Shad is whether this applies Leil Yom Tov also. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, the person benches and he forgets Yalla V'Yalla. So the Goyim who said, the Goyim who had the practice to fast on Rosh Hashanah, they didn't fast Leil Rosh Hashanah, only Yom Rosh Hashanah, because during the daytime is the din, the judgment, the Yom HaDin is in the daytime, not at night. So that's what some Achrayim want to say. If one benches on Leil Rosh Hashanah, if he gets Yalla V'Yalla, then he has to repeat the bench. It's a questionable psak, so we got to make sure we don't forget. Shouldn't forget, not by Leil, shouldn't forget by Yom.
Don't we say by Rosh Chodesh forget?
Yalla V'Yalla, by Naira.
So you don't repeat because in the conscience of Chodesh Ba'Laila.
Ba'Laila, yeah.
I think I saw Tshuva in Yigas Moshe, which is 5,000 Rosh Hashanah. If we are Rosh Hashanah, we are Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
So in the conscience of Chodesh Ba'Laila, and
the Chayyadim quotes from the Dayan, Rababala Pasvela. Pasvel was a suburb of Vilna. So the Dayan Rababala Paskin, that if a person daven Shmoneh Esrei Leil Rosh Hashanah forgot to say Amelach HaKadosh, said Akel HaKadosh, he doesn't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei because Ein Mekatchen Es HaKadosh Balayim. That's what the Chayyadim quotes. So many Poskim disagree with the Chayyadim for different reasons. Rav Moshe, many others Paskin like this, Rav Babala Pasvela, for a different reason. That since the judgment on Rosh Hashanah is really by Yom, not by Laila, so the emphasizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, that's because he's judging the whole world. So Leil Rosh Hashanah, that emphasis is not that significant. It only begins in the morning of Rosh Hashanah, when the din begins. So that's what Rav Moshe thinks, Halacha L'maisa, like Rav Babala Pasvela, Vela V'Lav Mitaimei, a different reason why. And others disagree in Gansan. They say if you got HaMelech HaKadosh, you would have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But the Shana is brought about Leil Rosh Hashanah if you got Yalav Yovin Benchin, when you have to repeat. The some posts can say Emekachan Sachodesh Balayla, so you can't insist that he has to bench over. And others say no. But you see, if you forget Yalav Yovin in the Shmona Esrei, you Yotzei the Shmona Esrei. Dumb things you want Yotzei the Chayvus Haskaras Kedusha Sayyim. So we say since Emekachan Sachodesh Balayla, so he doesn't have to repeat Myriv in order to gain the Yalav Yovin. I'll say Yalav Yovin in the daytime. But over here, the Yalav Yovin that you say in the Bichas HaMozen after the meal, Aleil Rosh Hashanah, the way the Gemara says, the Ritzei in Yalav Yovin, the Bichas HaMozen, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is to be kaver the Suda L'Shem Suda Shabbos. To be kaver the Suda L'Shem Suda Yom Tov. So we assume that there is a Chiyav Suda on Aleil Rosh Hashanah. Even the Goyinim, who fasted, they only fasted in the daytime on Rosh Hashanah. They didn't fast the night before. That's what some Achrayim think, that if one would forget Yalav Yovai in a meal, Leil Rosh Hashanah, it's not going to help that Emekach and Sachodesh Balayla. But bottom line, today this Rosh Hashanah, you got to have a Suda that's Nikva L'Shem Suda's Yontif. So somehow you would have to bench over. That's a big machlekes. We have to be careful not to forget Yalav Yovai. Reb Chaim Volozhiner quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that we're not allowed to be mishana the nusach habrachas from what the also the shana is being mapea habrachas shetavu chachon kol ha-mishan be'er shetavu chachon ein ela toya, you're not allowed to change the nusach. So the Vilna Gaon points out that in nusach Ashkenaz really they always used to say ha-mavarach is ha-mishol ba-shalom at the end of the Shemana Esra. Nusach Sfard has it that they say oseh ha-shalom in aser esim etshuva. So now in recent years it became that even the Ashkenazim also conclude the Shemana Esra with Oseh HaShalom. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to that, Chaim Volozhiner, that they say you should just say the same as all year long. Amvorach Hasam Yisrael Bashalom, you shouldn't say Oseh HaShalom. Same thing when the Kohanim go up to Duchen by Musaf, instead of concluding the Bracha of Ritzeh HaMachaz and Shechinos HaLetzion, so the meaning developed that the Chazan says a different Nusach HaBracha, Shoschol Abadcho B'Yiron Avro. So the Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, were opposed to this. He says, you have no right to change the Nusach. You should say the same Nusach that you always say, Amach Zer Shechino Soletzim. They already printed it in all the Siddurim. So everybody says, Shoschol Abad Chabira Navay. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner said from the Goyim that it's not really right. Many have the minig, I think that's the common minig in most places, that Leil, even if on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot you recite Piyutim in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema, but on Leil Rosh Hashanah you don't recite any Marovis. Why is that? So they give the explanation, the historical explanation. The Rishonim who composed all the Piyutim to be recited in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema had a widespread practice that they used to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah all day. Not just fast till 1 o'clock, till Chazir. They used to fast all day. So they were starving. So you're going to say, Nach Piyutim, I'm fasting a whole day. So that's why they were reasonable, got to be reasonable. So they didn't compose any Piyutim. Hashad is what it is. Who fasts? And then Rosh Hashanah, even the people who fast, only fast till 1 o'clock. So what's so bad? But look, we're off the hook. They didn't compose any Piyutim. So let's not look for more trouble.
I have
a piece of
presumably
we're
fasting all day.
I guess the Bechayrim, maybe they made their own minyan. I don't know. But here, Rosh Hashanah, apparently everybody fasted, not just a segment of the population. That's the official reason that I think the Maril gives that as the reason. The official reason why they never composed any Marovis, the Leil Rosh Hashanah, because everybody's fasting the whole day. Then I think also in Maril it says that they had a minig, many communities have a minig, that you don't recite any piyut and mibichas kriya shma shal shachar, shal shachris. Mibichas kriya shma shal arvis, on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they did add on marobis, they did say piyut. But mibichas kriya shma shal shachris, they didn't want to add on, but they're afraid that you may miss the sozma kriya shma. Question, let me miss our Kashmir. They start davening so early on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, now they start davening so early because they say so many piyutim. But years ago, they didn't say so many piyutim. So they didn't start so early. So if you're going to start dilly-dallying by reciting piyutim, you may miss this Zman Kriya Shma. So that's why in many communities had the practice, you don't recite any piyutim at all in Kriya Shma Shal Shachris. Here in Yeshiva, usually the Chazan just says the first line. Or Olam something, one line. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't even have the minute to say that. No, you don't add on anything. He was very, when it came to Minhagim, he was a literalist. whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch, I got to fulfill the minhag exactly like it says. Even minhagim that no one ever heard of now. Mishnah Berurah says that this minhag has been discontinued for the last 400 years. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what do you mean? Shulchan Aruch says the minhag, you got to observe the minhag. So he always observed all the minhagim that are described in the Shulchan Aruch in a very literal way. The minhag to recite Shir HaMalas in between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu and Shachris is quoted by the Magen Avraham from the Arizal. And the Magen Avraham is not happy with it. So Maisa, over the years, this was really minhag Sfarad. They used to daven Nusach Ari. They picked up a lot of things, even if they didn't daven everything in Nusach Ari. They used to have minhagim from the Ari. And the Ashkenazim never said Shir HaMalas. Now everybody's picking up everybody else's minhag. So now they printed it in all the machzorim. Everybody has Shir HaMalas. So the Yekis, of course, they're not going to change their minhagim. Their minhagim precede the days of the Shulchan Aruch. Their minhagim are before their Arizal. So they don't say any Shir HaMalas. Yeah. Magen Avraham is concerned. How can you say Shir HaMalas? It's a hepsik. You're not allowed to talk in between Hasach and Yishtabach and Yotzerar. Aver hiviyod v'chozor lahem liyorcha amalchom. The Gemara says that the draft board will kick him out of the army if he violates not only an Aver deraisa, even if he only violates an Aver derabbanan. That's a machlekes hatanoim. Would he allow you to serve in the army if you violate Averis derabbanan? If you violate Averis deraisa, they kick you out of the army. Violate Averis derabbanan is a machlekes. So this Gemara says, Hasoch ben Yishtabach, the Yerushalmi says, Hasoch ben Yishtabach liyotzeror, Aver hiviyod v'chozor lahem liyorcha amalchom. So the Magen Avraham has the taina that it's not right, you shouldn't say Shir HaMalas in between Yishtabach and Yotzerah. So on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Nari Yehuda has her Oris that are in the Dogal Dogel Mervava. So he says, why is that a hefsek? The Rambam writes that they were Mekoymas where they had a practice to recite Oz Yashir Ben Yishtabach Liyotzer. The Rambam didn't have the minig that we have to say Oz Yashir in the middle of Psukah Dezimr, because Psukah Dezimr is supposed to be Shiri David Abdecha Nahalelcha Mishabechecha on the Foercha. Shiri David Abdecha is only from Tehillim. Or Vayroch David is Shiri David Abdecha. But Oz Yashir is from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's not Shiri David Abdecha. So the Rambam didn't have Oz Yashir in the middle of Psukah Dezimr. But he says many places the practice would be, the Rambam writes in the Hilchos Tefillah, that would recite Oz Yashir in between Yishtabach and Yotzerah. So what's so bad if you say Shir HaMalas? That's what the Nari Yehuda Tain is against the Magen Avraham. So in the Sefer Emek Bracha, he comes to defend the Magen Avraham's Tain. And he says, no, Oz Yashir is more Shiris V'Sish Bachas. So it's like a Hemshech of the Psukah Dezimr. The Rambam doesn't want to say Oz Yashir in the middle of Psukah Dezimr, because it wasn't composed by David HaMelech, it was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's not Shiri David Abdecha, so you recite it in between your Shtabach and Yasur. It's a continuation of Psukah Dezimr. But Shir HaMalas is not Zimra, you know, it's not Shevach, it's Trinus of Akashas. You're pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of something. So it's not yet the time to ask the Bakashas. The Gemara says, Yolim Yishadar, Yisadar Ram Shvach Hashav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vahakach Yispalo. So the Psukah Dezimra is Shevach, and then the Bichas Kriyashma is Shevach. And then you get to the middle of the Shema Nesir, that's supposed to be the Bakashas. But the Shir HaMalas is already Tchinus of Bakashas. That was the Taina of the Magen Avraham. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik was concerned about this Taina of the Magen Avraham. On the one hand, the minhag from the Arizal to say Shir HaMalas. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham says that it's a hefsek. From the earlier years, he felt that he solved the problem, so he had them say Shir HaMalas before Yishtabach. So it's part of the Psukah Dezimr. So then someone brought to his attention, what do you mean? You say in the middle of Nishmas, the Chayodin quotes from the Vilna Gaon that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you say Nishmas Kol Chai, that's the beginning of the Broch of Yishtabach. So if you're going to say Shir HaMalas on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, in the middle of the Broch of Nishmas, it's a bigger hefsek, mafsek in the middle of the Broch. So he changed the practice. In the early years he did, for 40 years he did like that. He always had them say Shir HaMalas after Nishmas, before Yishtabach. Then when someone brought to his attention that that's a bigger hefsek, so he said, right? So he moved the Shir HaMalas up before Nishmas. After they finished Oz Yashir, then they said Shir HaMalas, then they said Nishmas Kol Chai. So that's a question. The way the Emek Bracha points out, that's a bigger hefsek. He's saying Shir HaMalas in the middle of the Psukah Dezimr. The Psukah Dezimr is supposed to be Shirei David Abdecha. This is the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shirei David Abdecha, not Shir HaMalas. Shir HaMalas is a tchinon of Bakasha. Just like it doesn't, just like the Magen Avraham Tainis, it doesn't belong in between Yishtabach and Yotzer Oros. It certainly doesn't belong in the middle of the Pesukah de Zimra. So that's an issue. Anyway, but Binyan Ashkenaz is that they never said Shemalos. So those who don't daven Nusal Svarat, you can have another 3 minutes to say a Pesukah de Zimra. While a Chazan is singing away the Shemalos, so here in Yeshiva you have 10 minutes. Chazan takes 10 minutes to sing Shemalos. He sings the Barichah. So you can have 10 more minutes to say a Pesukah de Zimra.
The
Pesukah de Zimra is over. You said a bracha shalachrech already. So he's adding on more Pesukah de Zimra. You can add on more. Let's say a person abridged the Pesukah de Zimra in order to catch up with the Chazan. He was afraid he's going to miss Barchu. And then he finishes Yishtabach. Then he says he has more time. But then let him say Yichvod. Let him say whatever he left out originally. You can say that. He's just continuing more Shirei David Avdecha. More Tehillas v'Sishbachos.
Okay.
Oz Yashir, we assume, does blend in with the Pesukah de Zimra because it's Shir v'Shevach. But Shir HaMalos is not even a Shevach, it's a Bakasha, it's a Tchina. So that's what the Emek Bracha points out. That was the argument that the Magen Avraham raised. Not that he raised an argument, you're not allowed to be mafzik in between Yishtabach and Yotzer for any purpose. No. To say Oz Yashir, that's not bad. That's okay. The Raman approves that. But to say Shir HaMalos, that's a problem. Shir HaMalos is not a Shevach, it's a Bakasha. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch say that it's not really right to recite the Yehi Ratzon, the tefillos that are printed in the Machzor in between the first set of tkiyas and between the second set and the third set. A lot of them are stam opposed to all of these Yehi Ratzon, because you're talking about Malachim there. But in between the tkiyas, we sure you shouldn't say that's a hafzik. We say the Brach, the Shema Kol Shofar. We're not sure which is the correct form of the tkiyas, whether Tashra, Tashra, Tara. So it's not really right. You shouldn't talk until after you heard all the tkiyas properly. Then there's a discussion the Ramban has in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. In Malchus Zechayin Shofus, we say 10 psukim. So where does the 10th pasuk belong? So in Malchus, the 10th pasuk appears right after the 9th psukim. In Zechayin Shofus, the 10th pasuk appears in the middle of the concluding paragraph. So some Rishonim insist that even in Zechayin Shofus, the 10th pasuk should be following the 9th psukim. So Rav Soloveitchik had a practice, he used to add on, like at the end of Malchus, we say, we say the 10th pasuk after the 9th psukim. So he had the same practice by Zechronis. The same pasuk that you say in the middle of the Elkein Kavseinu Zechen Mizikaron Tavlo Fanecho, and you mention the pasuk there, so at the end of the 9th psukim, he would say that pasuk. And then he repeat the pasuk a second time in the middle of the concluding paragraph to satisfy the both opinions of the Rishonim, whether the 10th pasuk should always be at the conclusion of the psukim, or should be dafka in the middle of the concluding paragraph. In Shofar's also he did like that, but in Shofar, since he's adding something on, the Rasko Kasov Leimar, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there's a machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rosh, there's a machlekes of Rishonim whether the pasuk that we recite as a 10th pasuk is really acceptable or not, because the pasuk says, "Yam smchas ma'adechem roshel chadshech miskaita machatzeitzus alav asech mazir cheshamechem." It says miskaita machatzeitzus. It doesn't say shofar. It says chatzeitzus. So Mechaber writes, "Yesh korim tagor." There are some rishonim who are not happy over the choice of the 10th pasuk because it doesn't say shofar. It says chatzeitzus, and I think the Mechaber writes the rosh was miyashiv the minig, and we say that. Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, the Rosh is Miyashir in the meaning, so we say that Pasuk in the concluding paragraph. But if we want to make a Chumrah to add on to say the 10th Pasuk right after the 9th Pesukim, why should we add on that questionable Pasuk? May as well add on a Pasuk that the Gemara proves 100%. They said the Gemara proves the Pasuk from Parshas Bilam. How to say, Uchuas Melech Bo. How does the Pasuk begin? Forgot. Chuas Melech Bo. So Chuas Melech. Yeah. So the Gemara says that pasuk can count as Malchias and it can count as Shofar. Because it says Chuas Melech Bo and it says Melech. So you can use that for Malchias or for Shofar. So since the Gemara said the fair is that pasuk is acceptable. So at the end of the nine psukim of Shofar, instead of saying it was a rasa kasuleimar, we have some chasim adechem rosh echad shechem, the pasuk that we say in the concluding paragraph, Soloveitcher used to have the chazan, he used to have the tzibur also, add on that pasuk, the pasuk that the Gemara says for sure is accepted. Duchening on Rosh Hashanah, like every yontif, the Gemara has a din, has to be ponim keneged ponim, you have to face the kohanim. Many shuls there are so concerned, they don't want to look at the hands of the kohanim, so they turn the back to the kohanim. So that's against the din, you have to face the kohanim. Those who are standing on the side of the kohanim, Mishnah Berurah says they should turn sideways. They shouldn't continue looking straight ahead to the Mizrachvan. They should turn sideways towards the Kohanim. When the Chazan calls out Kohanim, so many shuls that have a practice, everybody screams out, Am Kedosh Shecha Ka'amur. Someone told me by the Sfaradim they also do it. They scream out, Am Kedosh Shecha Ka'amur. So the Pesukim say, it doesn't make any sense. What are you screaming out? There is no such expression. If you would scream out, Am Kedosh Shecha, that would be a halbitzar. But Am Kedosh Shecha Ka'amur. The word Ka'amur goes, Barchen Barbracha Mishalas Batara, Ka'amur. You say, and the Kohanim recited, the Kohanim are the Am Kedosh Shecha. But the phrase Am Kedosh Shecha Ka'amur, it just doesn't make any sense at all. So it's not right. As much as the Rabbonim try to educate the Balabatim, somehow they insist on observing their Minhag. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says, even in the days of the Gemara, the practice would be that the Tzibur would recite Psukim while the Kohanim would be saying, Yivarech Echa, Hashem Yishmarecha. His man has said, it's too hard to concentrate. We have to listen to the Kohanim and recite the Psukim at the same time. It's too hard to concentrate. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends you shouldn't say the Psukim. If you want, you should look in the Machzor and be Mechav in the Psukim, but you shouldn't really say them. Then the Gemara says, when the Kohanim turn around, we have a rule called Panir Shatapayna Lo Yehu Ela Li'imin. You should turn around in the Mobikovadika way. Which way is Li'imin? Does it mean clockwise or does it mean counterclockwise? So they're two different minhagim. So in a lot of shuls, half of the Kohanim do one way, half of the Kohanim do the other way. That's not proper. The Kohanim should have a meeting and they should make up their minds in advance. They're all going to go one way. You don't have half of them turn one way, half of them turn the other way. The minhag by most people is you turn clockwise. When the Kohanim turn around, they turn clockwise. But there are always one or two people that are turning the other direction. So we should always make up in advance. They should do it the same way. It should look pretty. But then there are different opinions. When is the bracha recited? Shekhidashana, Bikdashosu Shalam, Mitzvah, Lavarcha, Samisol, Biavo. So there are different opinions. So some are of the opinion that you say the bracha before they start turning around. Others say, no, the bracha should be recited and immediately before they start saying Yivarechacha. So first they should turn around. When the Chazan screams, come in, they should turn around. After they're facing the tzibah with the hands up, then they should say the bracha. And the meaning in most places is compromise. That they say, Asher Kedushan B'Kedushas Aaron, when they say Mitzivanu, then they turn around. So again, after make up, the Kohanim should make up in advance what they're going to do. Not that half of them should turn counterclockwise and half of them should say the bracha before and half of them say the bracha during and half of them say the bracha after. It should be done all together in unison. Okay, officially there is yeshiva on Sunday. There was a mistake in the college schedule that says there's no yeshiva. And officially I plan to give a shiur on Sunday. But then a few things came up, so I think I will not be able to give a shiur on Sunday. If I will be able to, I'll find out, I guess, on Shabbos. If I will be, on Friday. If I will be able to, so I'll let you know. Okay? Have a good yom.